You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Ribbons dancing in the rain, flowers on the skyline. Hey, how is the wine? What comes round's going round again. Towers coming up forever.
Hello and welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
And who's not here?
A good old prick.
Captain Kangaroo. Patrick is not with us today.
He died on
his way back to his home planet.
In a trampoline accident.
Funnily enough, I've got a booking at Sky Zone for a birthday party. Tom, do you know it's expensive to book Sky Zone birthday parties?
Is it really?
Dude, it's like $500.
Jesus Christ.
Not even for like it's like 500. It's a whole lot. But
so they get you full of hot dogs and make you jump around.
Oh, I will say this: the single worst pizza I think I've experienced in the Northeast was pizza from Sky Zone, which I mean, like news at 11, right? Like
I feel like they farm that out. Like they bring in pizza from somewhere. Like
they should. But they don't. There's some places you can go. Like I said, hey, I'm bringing pizza. Like I'll get the pizza. I'm like, right, oh, there's an outside food fee, and I'm like, yep, that's fine. Your pizza's awful. And they're like, well, you know, some of our locations have done different things. For example, I was like, that's totally fine. I'm not. I'm bringing in pizza. Like we're right. not. I'm not playing
get
around.
Ilio's. You can get like a tree tavern and make it better than.
Dude, it was offensive, like offensively bad.
And that's hard to do because I feel like any pizza is like, you can you can pretty much deal with almost any pizza.
It's still pretty good. Yo, Tom, you might like this. Me and Andy Scarpula, friend of the show, we are doing a, New Jersey's got pretty good pizza.
They do.
New York, New Jersey got good pizza. There are, I think the number is somewhere in the mid-20s of pizza places in our town, Brick.
What?
And 26 square miles. We believe there's more than 26 pizza places. We have begun the process of going to every single one and getting slices.
Respect.
And rating. So we're starting
one with a day. Are you doing like Bleacher Report type shit?
No. We're not one a day because that's committing to the bit a little too hard and schedules don't allow. But we went to one last week, went to one yesterday. Ones that we haven't been to or haven't been to in like 20 years, right? So some pretty good results so far. Here's my question for you, though, before we get into the episode, actually. What are the most important things? Like if you were rating a slice of pizza, what would you be rating it on? You're helping shape this because I have a couple ideas, but I kind of want to round out like what we're grading this place on.
You got for a regular slice? Well,
yeah.
All right, so... For the folks that are outside the Northeast, a regular slice is a cheese slice.
That's right. Thank you.
We do not ask for cheese slices in the Northeast.
No, just regular.
You just go, let me get a plain slice, or let me get regular
slice. Plain slice. Thank you.
Yeah. So to me, you know, the cheese is important.
Yep.
Cheese distribution.
Yep.
The foldability.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, good question.
You don't want to fold a regular slice and the bottom half is like kind of dipping downward. It's got to be consistent.
Yep, you're right. Yep.
What else? That not too oily.
Yep. Yeah, the oily / greasiness.
Yeah, that you have to hold it over the paper towel and you see what you could have been in
the ooze. So yeah, and there's another. There's kind of the inverse where if you get a slice. They typically throw it back in the oven, right? They typically heat that thing up. That is part of the prep. Now, when it comes out, sometimes if they didn't heat it up enough, there's no oil coming out. There's no grease coming out, you know?
Right.
they should enough so you get a little bit. So, like, I think there's a little bit of either side, right? Like, you don't want an overly greasy slice, but you also don't want one that's like not warm enough.
Either. Yeah,
exactly.
What else you need? I think you need to look at the bottom's got to be a little charred.
The crust, sure. Yep.
Yeah, well, not necessarily. Well, the crust.
Oh, the crust. You mean the actual the
like bottom. The bottom of the slice.
Okay.
Like that has to be cooked a little bit more than the top.
Should have a little more of a crisp. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want. I mean, burnt pizza is pretty gnarly.
Yeah. No, you don't want to burn. You don't want, of course. Yeah. Well, it's the coal fire pizza places. Sometimes they burn it, and it's like, yo, like, are you? This is covering up the effect.
Yeah, the ingredients have to be separate things. When they're burned, it's just one congealed mass of whatever. I'm trying to think what else.
All right, so a couple of my other ones. I think the crust matters.
Yes.
So you got to figure that out. I think the sauce, because that's a variable, and it can be good. Like, I like a sweet sauce sometimes, but it can be too sweet. And I like a regular, like a nice traditional tomato sauce that's not too sweet, but I also don't want it to be too acidic. And how does it mix with everything? So that's the other side, is ratios.
Now, cheese to sauce.
Yeah, I'm thinking just plain right now.
Everywhere, like no matter what.
When I've gone, what I do is I do one plain, and then I do one other. And typically,
Fred, to treat yourself.
Right.
Spend the wheel and make a deal, yeah.
And I think when I'm going into this, I want to rate the pizza, but I also want to rate a little bit like options. So specialty options. Like I had a crazy like a veggie grandma slice.
All right.
That kind I'd never seen it had. It was super garlicky, which it worked because Amanda's out of town, so what do I care?
Yeah. Right.
super garlicky. Onions, maybe some kind of like spinach thing, but it wasn't too much. Peppers and something else, and it was good. It was like a non-standard veggie slice on a thicker crust, thicker like bottom, like bread. The sauce mix was, everything was really good, and I was impressed with it. And it could have gone the other way. It could have been like, this is like wonky. This is like a focaccia or a flatbread thing, not pizza. But it was pizza. I think it was truly pizza. All those things have been kind of in the ratio. So the specialty quality and then basic quality, the foldability and greasiness have been brought up. So
foldability is very important because you've seen like it like almost like collapsing under the weight of its own cheese. Like you don't want
can't
that.
Do that.
No, that's great. I mean, it's supposed to be like a handheld. It's a hand food. You're supposed to be able to walk with it.
So
John Travolta can. We can too.
Everybody, thank you for joining us. No Patrick, no problems.
We're eating pizza. Pat doesn't like pizza.
He likes pizza. Oh, man.
He's eating
Australia Domino's every day, so don't let him fool you. let's get to our sponsors really quick. We're going to keep it tight, keep it hard. Praise to Run for Cover Records. Praise.
Make his weird, like.
You got it. I like it. No sex noises today?
Yeah, which is weird.
He's getting weird. Praise to Live a Lie.
Whoa.
And praise to Death Wish.
Wah, wah.
Praise to Closed Casket Activities.
Yeah.
Today, we're focusing on those last two. I'm going to start off on the Death Wish side of things. Death Wish Inc., deathwishinc.com. Go to that web store. I am going to direct you to their new section. Tom, do you know what it is? It is the fall, which I'm trying to get better about this. Christmas is a little over 2 months away.
Yes.
Holiday season. I have procrastinated in the past, but part of it is I enjoy that like frenetic late season, like I got to pull it together kind of thing. But if you slip up, you slip up and you miss. You know, you don't get the good gifts. So this year, I'm trying to get ahead of the curve, and that's what I'm advising everybody else to do. Deathwishinc.com is a great place to go for a wide range of options, okay? They got prints, they got merch, they got music, all that fun stuff. And for people who are not of the culture, of the hardcore world, right, they have stuff. Do you know someone who likes Terrier? Well, Death Wish has got a they work with a brand called Terror Cult that has a literal mass of merch related to terriers. I don't know it, but maybe you have someone in your life who loves a terrier. I'm more of a beagle guy myself. I also probably wouldn't wear anything related to dogs on a shirt, but a lot of people
do. Your aunt would, or your uncle.
Yes, that's right. So keep that in mind. Check that out. But what I am recommending, and Tom, I think you can co-sign this.
Yes.
Death Wish has some banging Cave-In merch right now. I don't know how limited it is. I don't know how long it will last. But what I want everybody to go and look at is the Cave-In merch. There's a few designs, but the one I'm loving is the Cave-In Heavy Pendulum Black Long Sleeve.
Yes.
Super simple front left chest. You got the side print heavy, the sleeve print Heavy Pendulum. And on the back is this unreal artwork, which I think is part of the album art. And it's awesome. It's like some sort of cosmic swirl in a planet with like Saturn rings around it. It's awesome. So this is a perfect long sleeve, like 10 of 10 design. I love it. There's a few other designs too. I think this would appeal to all of the Cave-In fans out there. I'm a little sad the Cave-In Heavy Pendulum slip mat is sold out. Has the same kind of cool artwork from the long sleeve. But you can't wear a slip mat. You can wear a long sleeve. So check that out. Check out the other stuff and keep Christmas in mind. Get your shopping done early so you can enjoy your late November, December time. You don't have to be shopping. Don't be shopping. Deathwishinc.com. Check it out. Tom, can you take us to closedcasketactivities.com for a minute?
Yes, we're going to Troy.
Let's go. Like uninformed tourists, we're going to Troy, New York.
Right. Because, yeah, we're coming in, we're gentrifying, we're just being like, hey, I heard there's a nice restaurant down on, I don't know, Scotland Avenue.
There are a lot of new restaurants moving into Troy, New York. Many, many vegan options, you know, they're diversifying.
I've
heard. Yeah.
Diversifying, that's always good.
The county seat of Rensselaer, you know?
So. we'll go to, so there's a new, they have a few new things coming out. We're just going to concentrate on one right now. Dead Body. Putting out an LP called The Requiem. So Dead Body are Colin and Taylor Young from every band from California.
Yes.
Dudes from Apparition and from Despise You are also filling out the band.
Hell yeah. What a mix.
Yeah, AC/DC as well. Record comes out October 28th. It's a pre-order. You can get it now. Recorded, engineered, mixed by Taylor. Taylor's singing, and so is Colin. Colin's playing bass.
Oh, hell yeah.
Taylor playing guitar. It's, you know, if you know what you're getting from these folks at this point.
Yeah.
Very, very well done. This is
heavy,
probably
more
death metal.
Yeah. Yo, so that's the thing. Like, you said it right. You are getting a few things in different forms from the Youngs, right?
Like, yes.
Like, Zeus and Twitching Tongues are not the same thing. They've got a lot of different things. But you're always going to get heavy. And you're always going to get no youth crew. You're always going to get hard. I guess what's the one band Colin did? Colin will throw some like curveballs at you.
Boys in Faith Alone.
Faith Alone. What's the one that did that was poppier? I think they did a record with Triple B.
Oh, that's right. God
yeah.
Damn it. Yeah, now it's going to annoy.
That's slipping us. However, if Taylor is there,
it's all heavy.
It's all heavy. It's heavy and hard. Dead Body, The Requiem. I actually love this cover art too, by the way.
This came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Shout out. And if I hope people who are hearing this, you're hearing it on the Tuesday. This pre-order, I think, went up on just this past Friday. I hope you can still get some of the limited versions. If you can, scoop in there quick. Definitely worth your time and attention, everybody. Much love to Closed Casket Activities. CloseCasketActivities.com. Tom. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm looking up now because it's going to bother me, the pop band that Colin did.
I know. I'm trying to figure out what the quickest way. Let's see.
There's several Colin Youngs in Discogs. Oh, there it is.
Hold on. Is it Nudie Mag?
Yes.
There we go. Yes.
How do you not remember that?
I know.
That's how me. Do we miss that? That's you on me. It's a pretty standout name.
let's see this. I had a question for you because I was thinking of this when I was thinking of Closed Casket, I'm also thinking of that artwork of the Dead Body record. I think that in general, Hardcore 2022 and the, you know, outlying adjacent satellites of the world of hardcore, the game has been raised. I think things have been stepped up, whether it's art, whether it's the recording. Music, to be quite frank, yeah. The touring. Do you largely agree with that sentiment?
Absolutely. Yeah, you just can't put out like a photocopied cover anymore.
Well, right. And if you're going to, it better look awesome. And it feels like it's very intentional, right? You know, like if you're doing some kind of like, you have to have high effort in what you're doing. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've noticed. I actually, pulling the curtain back, we're recording, it's 9 a.m. And yeah. We realized we were dry. Patrick's been on tour, and this has caused some issues in our scheduling. Shout out to everybody who understands. But I was thinking about how high-level hardcore is right now. And I was like, wait. We started Axe to Grind at the end of 2017, the very end, right? Like, I think our first episode was actually...
like right after Christmas?
Right. December 28th. Right before Christmas, Hardcore 2017, like best of kind of thing, right? Like our favorites, some kind of energy like that. And I was like, yo, has there actually been a dip since that time? And I don't know what your answer is. I couldn't come up with a yes, there has been. But then I was like, yes. We had this little thing called COVID-19 that shut down the world for a year solid. And you know, for live music, closer to 18 months. And I think that was the dip because it literally disabled it. What about you? What do you think? Do you think there was a music dip and you dropped out? Okay. Do you think there was a music dip in that time frame? Like since we started Axe to Grind, has there been a lull? Because hardcore has had lulls. It just has lulls. It is what it is, you know?
You know what? Like... On first blush, I would say no. But I don't know if that's because we were so involved
right
for 5 years that it wasn't like – it's easy to point out dips when you're like on the outside.
Yes, correct.
Like you can see like the curvature of the earth if you're far enough away.
Unless you're Kyrie.
Unless you're Kyrie, yeah. But I think it's hard to say. But I think like 2017 was and 2018 – mm-hmm. was the start of like a great run in hardcore.
Yeah.
So I can't go back and think of any time that I was like, well, it was a little fallow right there. Like, I think right. It's been on an upper trajectory since. And I mean, it's obviously because of the podcast. So,
well, no, you made such a good point, and I appreciate that because I think that's like the honesty that we want to drop here is that like, yeah, we're actively pursuing the good, right? We're actively seeking things out that we like. We're actively trying to see the things and highlight the things we like. So that's always going to put us at a spot. If you're coming for youth crew leaning stuff, you probably are like, yeah, shit's been rough, dude. If you're coming for, I don't know. I think there was probably a time frame if you were looking for faster, straightforward hardcore, you might have gone, yeah, you know, if Turnstile wasn't your thing, you know what I mean? If Turnstile wasn't lighting your day, you might have been like, yeah, I don't know. A couple years ago, it was kind of rough for me.
Right. The fast hardcore got pushed to the fringes almost.
Yes.
And it became like loft punk.
Right.
To an extent.
Almost. Well, no, right. And I think people went more and more extreme with it, right? And we saw that in it's like fast stuff went to power violence and grind and like in death metal. And we're seeing a little bit of a return in the last year or two, but it's still kind of more on the punk side. And so I don't know. I wanted to talk about this. I've been nice to – we'll hear what Patty Kay says when he gets back too. But I think there's been this weird – it's almost like a hardcore diaspora. You know, a lot of things have moved out to fringes, even though there's this – sonic coalescing in the middle where these things work together. And it's kind of saying the moment isn't like, hey, I'm a youth crew kid, I'm a New York hardcore kid, I'm a this kid, I'm a that kid. The moment is there's things that are so far out on those peripheries that people pick from the edges, you know, like, yep. Like we talk about the adjacent stuff a lot. I guess if Fiddlehead was out 20 years ago, maybe we label it melodic hardcore. I don't know. What do you think?
Let me see.
Like, I mean, would they almost be, you know what I mean?
2002. Yeah. I mean, would they almost be like, yeah, I mean, I guess melodic hardcore in the way that like Rev had those bands.
Oh, sure.
Would they
but
be
it, yeah,
more
but it
in,
almost
like,
feels post.
Sensefield
you're right.
Farside?
Yeah, but it feels post too, you know? So it's
right,
like,
right.
I guess we would probably, I think post hardcore is where it goes. And like, just by the way, we know genres are, they're just a way of organizing things. But now, I don't know. Fiddlehead doesn't feel like a post hardcore band per se. They do, but they don't. They feel like something else. Drug Church, I guess you could say the same. They do, but they don't, you know? And so I think there's an interesting mix of stuff all landing. And
here's, things are good.
Yeah, I think it's really good. And I think we've continued. It's got kind of amped up. And here's kind of where I want to say. I think 2017, we had to dig around a little more outside of the very top. Because I think at that time you're getting the Incendiary, you're getting the Power Trip, you're getting the Turnstile, you're getting the Code Orange.
Right.
It's funny because those four bands were very comparable at the time. Yo, you have behind the scenes knowledge. Incendiary's got another record coming.
They got an LP done.
Damn. That's
like
gonna
done
be-
done. Probably waiting for art because usually that's how this it's usually how it works. It's like the band's like chomping at the bit to get the record out. It's like, well,
yeah. Yo, I think that that's a sleeping giant.
Yeah, they come back and they're back right like where they left off.
Yeah, well, and I want to say this when I to the everything stepped up, hardcore has new headliners now too.
Yeah.
For a minute, and this was a conversation way back.
Right, there was four or five.
Four or five. And
right,
now, I think
trip.
There's a solid, I think there might be as many as 15. Like,
oh,
if hardcore was a sports league, we'd be talking about expansion right now, Tom.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, like Mind Force and Vane and Pain of Truth and like all these bands that are, and Never Ending Game. Like,
dude, and on the fast side of things, I want to highlight Spy is now headline
Spy,
level.
Gel.
And I want to talk about Gel for a second. And
they're like
and
a phenomenon.
They are awesome. They are.
Oh, deservedly. Yeah, of course.
Deservedly. So they, and it's going to go to a conversation. Gel are a band who have gotten, they leveled up. They just went from being a band who, and like, yo, I hope they take this with the right energy. I think they know I really like their band a lot. They went from being a band who was pretty good on record and was good live, just good.
Yeah.
And I don't say that meanly. They were good. They are now awesome on record and awesome live.
Like a powerhouse live, yeah.
Yeah, and like, and that can be said for a lot of bands, and we've had this kind of private conversation about like, and we've mentioned here, video is a great thing, but also maybe is limiting because bands get better as they play more shows.
Right. In that gestation period, like none of our bands, I mean, there are bands that come out that are like, oh, you guys were, oh, okay. Like,
I'm willing to bet, Tom,
good from the rip.
I bet the first Most Precious Blood show, you were a lot better than the first Indecision show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's Indecision demos that I'm like, these can never see, like, yeah. When I die, throw them in my coffin. Like, they can never see the light of day because it's so bad.
Right, right.
It takes time. It has nothing, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there are some bands that just come right out of the womb, like, fully, you know, realized and sort of, but, like, that's pretty rare.
Yes.
And to me, I think, which I think is awesome about Gel is that, not, like, not sound like old man, but, like, they did it, like, the old way.
Yeah.
They just toured and toured and toured
yep.
until now they're like, you know, selling out like shows in like Tacoma.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, they put a demo out and like the cool person put it in their Instagram stories. Like they've hustled more than pretty much any band out there.
Yo, and I want to say this. They have had to deal with a lot of nonsense. And I want to give them the biggest kudos. I'm not going to get into the nonsense they've had to deal with. But they've had to deal with stuff that's completely unbelievable and unfair and untrue and just illegitimate. And they just didn't quit. They just kept their head up, kept going, which is so awesome. So I can't wait. They just did this split with a band, Cold Brats, from Europe. I think we debuted a track from each band. That Gel Material and the Violent Closure 7-inch that Atomic Action did is awesome. Mm. Even if you're vaguely into faster stuff, you have to check it. It has enough punch and aggression that I think even people who are just like, yo, bro, where's the mosh, can get with it.
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah, it's got like the attitude to it and everything. I mean, for the older folks, to put it into perspective, they played a couple of shows in California, at least one show in California, mm-hmm. where Verbal Assault opened for them.
Yes, correct.
When I saw that, I was like, holy shit, like this, like, and that's how it should be.
Correct. Let's save that one, but credit to Verbal Assault for just being like, yeah, cool. Because right.
There's no harm in that. There's no, you know what's disrespectful? Verbal Assault playing in front of Gel and watching 90% of the crowd walk out.
Right. And shout out to them. Because Gel exposed Verbal Assault to a bunch of new kids. That's the other energy I see. A lot of younger folks coming out for all these different bands. Whether it's Spy, whether it's Mind Force, whether it's Scowl, whether it's Gel, whether it's Drug Church. You know what I mean? Like, yo, we're getting a lot of new faces in the door. We're doing an episode about that pretty soon. But this is a really cool, booming time. And like, I hope one of the things that we're able to do is highlight some shit and also say like, yo, this is worth time and attention. There's a conversation of criticism versus, to me, basically promotion, promoting things that you like and not in some sort of commercial or crass way. Like, please, anyone who's in a band who is trying to get us to do your stuff, know that we're not doing that. Like, if you offer us money, that's not going to happen. I've seen that apparently this happens with some podcasts. Not the ones that we're fucking friends with. Come on. But I've seen this, and that's the wrong approach. That's the wrong approach to Axe to Grind. Don't do it. Please don't do it again. It's this idea of like, where do you go from criticizing? And I don't, you know, we've done this versus actually pushing and spotlighting, highlighting, because the other side is you don't want to be saying only everything's great, right? It feels like a unreliable narrator, right?
Yeah, we had brought this up once before, and I was like, almost it's like a friend to all is a friend to none,
right?
Like if you can't differentiate between X and this, then you don't really like your positive, your kudos mean nothing because that's right. You're giving them to everybody. And I think, I think where you were going, like, you know, we're never like, we started the podcast to be like the cranky fucking, you know, me and Pat yelling about stuff like Joe Budden or whatever. That's not the energy. Like, I think by like episode 3, we're like, that's not really what we want to do.
It's actually more fun just to chat about hardcore.
Yeah. And like, there's so much good shit. Like, there's stuff we don't like.
Of course.
And it changed. I mean, like, there's stuff that I love that Bob has no use for, vice versa. Same thing. Like,
Patrick, sure.
Pat, I don't know. Pat, I think, just likes metalcore. I don't know. Like, but then I send him stuff and he's like, this is okay. I'm like, well, this is actually really good for what it's doing.
He's interesting with it because his palette is more diverse than he personally acknowledges sometimes, but then it comes out and it's like, oh, you know, like he was talking about some new EP by a band who you wouldn't expect him to like musically, but he's like, oh, these are really good songs. And it's like, okay, bro, you know?
Wow, yeah, he's an enigma. You never know what you're going to get with him.
No, but so anyways, that's all to say. There's a lot of good stuff out there. If you haven't heard Gel, please check it out. I want to talk about Scowl for a second.
Sure.
They are awesome live. Reports from our friends in Boise. Tom, do I give the half truth or do I give the whole truth? I give the whole truth, right?
Full truth, man.
Full truth.
We're yeah.
I heard they stole the show from Drug Church.
You know, Pat's gonna delete this.
I know he'll edit.
Remember, he's got to edit this before we send it out. You know that motherfucker. Well, he doesn't listen.
Maybe he'll drop in a little editor's note like, oh, that's not true to me. But I was told that they stole the show, and I will confirm. I think.
Are you shocked?
No, because I'm dust settling. I'm letting the dust settle on Sound and Fury, and I think they're one of the bands who stole the show.
100%.
I think about it. I think Angel Dust was like, for a band who, it's like, it's almost like Tom Brady winning his 7th Super Bowl ring. It's like, hey, Angel Dust stole the show at Sound and Fury. It's like, how could Angel Dust steal the show? And it's like,
they have like 17 records out. Yeah.
Right.
They got Reignition.
Right. Well, there you go. I think they came out and said, hey, if we just do best of sets, we will smoke a reaction. And that was such good energy. But Scowl was the other one, and they have a confidence and an energy live that I'm excited to see translate, because I think their LP, the Flat Spot LP they did, is good. But I imagine now, after touring their asses off for the past year, their next material will be so much higher and so much better. I just can't. I mean, you know, it's going to be impressive, whatever they come out with next. And I think they got something coming. So shout out to them. And Tom, the other band, yes, other than Scowl, that this one's more slept on, and this is weird. How much time have you spent with the Combust LP?
You know, I just listened to it this morning.
Another life.
Like, literally, like, as I was like waiting for you, you know, because we started this at 8:30 in the morning because Patrick Kinlan doesn't know time or scheduling.
Yes.
So I was like flipping through Instagram and like they were posting stories. They had just played El Paso last night.
Yeah, they did full US.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But like they're everywhere. It's been fucking cool to see. And like, it's, and they I think the video was Why I Hate, and I was like, oh dude, like I forget these songs are great. So I literally listened to like half the LP this morning as I waited for you to get back from dropping off the baby.
Yo, it is so good. It is so good.
It's like a study. It's like a case study of, like, if someone's like, describe it to me, I'd be like, 1989 New York hardcore.
That's right.
And only 1989 New York hardcore. It's the new breed comp. As an album.
And so,
it's awesome.
Yes. And so anyone who loves late 80s New York hardcore, yo, if you like Killing Time and you haven't heard Combust Another Life, you need to. I think there's elements of early Madball, like 89 Madball for sure. But for a newer ear, like if you like Bitter End, if you like No Warning, you certainly should check this, because it's got that same, like,
bounce.
Hey, yeah, bounce, rhythmic stuff, hard mosh parts. What was funny, Tom, and when I first heard this, I was like, all right, like most New York hardcore at this point that's coming out has some 90s influence,
right?
Like a little bit of Marauder, a little bit of Crown of Thorns, a little bit of this, you know?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm going to say there's a whole scene of bands who are doing the 25 to life thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, for better or worse.
Yeah.
That said, this is devoid of almost any 90s New York stuff, unless you want to throw some Madball in there. I'm fine with hearing that.
Sure.
Yo, this record is awesome. This is a band who's currently touring the U.S. I think they're slept on a little bit. I think this is a band who deserves it, and I'm impressed. Like, we've talked about Combust for a while. I think we've been talking about them since they came out.
Yeah, they've been around for a minute.
This is... their last record was good. This is very good.
Very good. New York hardcore. They're playing in Brooklyn, middle of November. I think it's the 17th.
Okay.
It's actually them, Gel, and Youth of Today.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Good little gig. And then after you leave that, if that was like not heavy enough, God's Hate's playing next door.
Oh, yes.
Come to Brooklyn. Get some donuts. Go see some hardcore.
So I want to say, like, bold proclamation, I think hardcore is in as strong a place as it's been since we started this podcast.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
And to me, I think that's even if you take away, like, the top level,
because mm-hmm.
I think it's easy to be like, well, of course. I mean, fucking Turnstile's drawing 6,000 people. Like, that's cool. But like, even if you take away like the Knocked Loose, like if you just go like lop off the Knocked Loose,
take off Turnstile, Knocked Loose. That's the right. Crazy level. Yeah.
I mean, you can't. That's like, okay, good luck. That's like, that's happened to like five hardcore bands in the history of hardcore. Like, that's never happening.
For people who might be Axe Grind listeners, but not necessarily follow like certain sides of it, right? We talk about Turnstile stuff a lot. Tom always makes sure to mention the Knocked Loose stuff. Knocked Loose just played the Forum.
Right.
In LA, which
Barclays
is where
Center, Brooklyn.
Yeah, right.
They're
playing basketball arenas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, their main support in basketball arenas and like destroying. Like, it's not even like, oh, that's cool that they got to play like the Forum. Like, oh, no, they belong here on the stage at the Forum.
Yeah.
And like, I got to be honest.
Reactions, yeah.
I don't know. It you triggered my memory when we talked about them. So, you know, like they're doing like these like things like Bring Me the Horizon.
Yeah.
Who's like, you know, apparently is an arena sized band. Far be it from me. I would never have known. But now, like, obviously they're doing like their off shows and playing like, you know, their small, you know, couple of thousand people shows on the side when they're not playing with Bring Me the Horizon. This is Knocked Loose.
Yeah.
They played in Houston.
Yeah.
With Dallas like a week ago.
Uh-huh.
Who opens for them? Bitter End.
It's San Antonio, yeah.
San Antonio. It's the fucking coolest thing that because they can pick, they're doing like, you know, a weekend with Tsunami. They're like, they're at the level that they can literally do whatever the fuck they want. And those are the bands that they're picking to play with them, which I think is fucking awesome.
Yeah, like,
Bitter End playing in front of 3,000 people, probably 2,900 of which never heard of them.
In their hometown.
Right, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you know, we had the opportunity to play the record release show in Louisville. There was 1,000 people there. There was probably 950 people like, who the fuck brought their uncles?
Yo, and it's like a so those are inflection points. These are exposure points. And we've mentioned this. We talked about this. I feel like Phil Simms right now. You know, before the game, we talked about. But this is going to be kind of recurring themes. When do people get into hardcore? How do you get in? What are their devices? Yo, fucking Bring Me the Horizon. I am fascinated, and we alluded to this on the last episode. Blink 182 with direct support from Turnstile got announced. Yo, they're playing giant venues.
And Tom DeLonge begged the Turnstile to do it.
Right.
I saw like in some interview, they're like, yeah, he was like, he like cornered them at a fest they played together. Like, I guess he was in Angels and Airwaves, or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, you guys should do this tour. You should do this tour. Can you imagine being like, oh, cool. The biggest announcement in the last fucking probably 5 years of about a reunion.
Yeah.
And they're like, can you please play with us?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
So these are these moments, right? And this is this kind of like, we don't know. There's not an easy quantify. You know, we don't have this like way to say, hey, here's how people get into stuff. But like, we also fundamentally know this is how people get into stuff. You're into fucking Megadeth, and then you stumble into a DRI tape. You know, you're into Linkin Park, and you go and hear fucking whatever. You know, like you there's these fall in points where it's you see No Warning. There's these fall in points where it's like, oh, okay, this, and then you get down the rabbit hole, and that's a consistent that's been there forever. So it's going to be interesting to see it. But like you were saying before, I derailed us with Knocked Loose. If you lop off Turnstile and Knocked Loose.
Yeah, it's still insane.
Right, because we were talking, I think back and I'm like, man, we identified there's like this big four. Code Orange, Turnstile, Power Trip, Incendiary. Incendiary is still there. And they're going to be in this big, like, look, if Incendiary is playing Sound and Fury, their set would have been insane.
Like, they also have their own business model.
Correct.
Which helped other bands.
They showed it. And like Brian said it on here 400 years ago. We figured out what we could do, what we can't do. And we just did it and kept doing it.
Right. And they have an agreement. There's no weirdness. But I think like Mind Force.
Yes. Correct.
Is using that business model. Like, mm-hmm. Dude, they're playing Salt Lake City and Atlanta this weekend.
Right. I know.
Like, I mean, I would like to talk to
them. I'm going to get some text from them being on Monday about their snowbacks, you know?
Yeah, they don't sell weed in Salt Lake City. Yeah, I mean, but like, yeah, but they can do that now. Like, hardcore is at such a place that like flyouts are like a feasible business thing that they're people possible. Can do. Like, five humans probably with Mind Force to Salt Lake City from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Not jump not nothing. Change. Not nothing.
And you then know, routing and, to Atlanta, also not right. nothing. And then home,
New York.
You know?
Right. Like, so like, but there's enough, you know, like there's enough demand that the costs are covered, which I think is like a good litmus test to see how good things are going. Because usually that's only for festivals.
Right.
That was my experience.
It totally is. But now we're seeing this stuff. Example, Spy got flown out to New York like last fall. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah. That
was huge. And it was awesome. And it's like, hey, this is a band who has a 7-inch that was a 7-inch of a demo and a 12-inch EP. Cool. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like that's done some West Coast stuff, but now they're doing full US. They're touring Ceremonies, taking Spy and Gel out. There's another interesting exposure point. We're seeing all this kind of crossing. And I'm amazed. I think, I just think and hope, I think there's people out there quietly who are off on the Turnstile thing, who it's too much, all to talk about, blah, blah, blah. Probably were never in on the Knocked Loose thing either, right?
Sure.
This and some of the bands we talked about today, whether it's Scowl, whether it's Combust, whether it's Gel, whether it's Spy, there's a lot going on in different sounds for you to check, you know, new and old. I just think there's a lot of good music to find something like, dude, you know, like the New York hardcore traditionalist. Well, this year you got the Kulu LP. I guess that's the end of last year.
Yeah.
You get the Mind Force has put out Chopping Swords last year. They put out New Lords this year. And then you get this Combust LP. Not to mention stuff that's New York hardcore, not from New York. Shout out to the UK scene. Shout out to Big Cheese. That's good. Like there,
oh, yeah.
That's, you know, I think there's a lot. And that's just mentioning like the a more traditional form version of New York hardcore sound, you know? So I don't know. I hope that people are feeling it like we are. Obviously we're close to it, but we also know we help and hope that we help bring people closer to it too.
Cause that's the whole point, really.
Right. Tom, I think you can speak for me on this too, but like hardcore, when you are further away from it, or it's starting to feel like something in the rear view more, is less fun and less engaging.
Yeah, and I mean there's different ways of kind of seeing your way out.
Right. Yes.
You know, there's people, you know, the people that are like, you know, can't believe I listened to this crap.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, you know, from the bottom of my heart, fuck those people. But I think there's ways to kind of be like, I think everyone, you know, like, would I be, if I didn't have this podcast to keep me like grounded and hardcore, would I be as involved?
No,
probably not. Only reason being, like, it is, I mean, also because I've I've gotten older, right. but I think it's, how was I talking about this? But like when we were kids, mm-hmm. there wasn't us.
Right.
Because hardcore was still new enough that there was no, you know, 52-year-old that still goes to hardcore. I'm not 52 and neither is Bob, but like.
No. There was like, less. There weren't people around to.
ROGs were like Jimmy Gestapo, who was like 32.
Right, I know, yeah.
You know
like,
what I mean?
30 was old. 30 was really old to me.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you were going to a show, you know, like, think about it. Like, if we all started going, you know, early to mid-90s, hardcore was, like, 10 or 15 years old.
Right.
So, like, these dudes that were in bands at 16 and 17, they were, like, 33. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, well, you know, well, here come the fucking Senior Citizen Brigade.
And, yes, and depending on where you were, they were more or less prickly.
Yeah,
they were able to provide more or less context, which some people weren't giving you nothing, and some people were wanting to give you their version of it, and some people, you know, would give you kind of a fastball pitch. What I hope people are getting now, whether it's from us, whether it's from other podcasts, whether it's from just shit online, whether it's from people you know in real life, whatever, is the idea of like how much is out there and how different things are. One of the things that I was going to ask you, like, from what I understand too, like the more metal side of things has been thriving too. I'm not seeing as much on the smaller levels, but a lot of the bands that we talked about a couple of years, like Dying Wish is a global touring act at this point, right?
Oh yeah. Like you know? Killing.
Right. And there's other bands of that type that are just leveled up, keep getting bigger and bigger. So I don't know. I think there's a whole spectrum of stuff to dive into and get interested in. And like you're 100%
right. It's not as like
hardcore
it used to be
wasn't
almost
so
like,
old as it is now.
Maybe not binary, as but close to it that you were either one of these, or one of those.
How, historically, like,
you were either a metal guy or a metal girl, however, or you know a metal person.
It was,
or you were like a hardcore.
You know,
person.
You were blindfolded in a dark room, feeling you know around I mean? Sometimes.
How did I go? I went,
and I don't know. I hope that people don't feel like that as much.
It's not like that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I remember as a kid, you know, even as, you know, through the early 20s, like it was sure. like,
oh, there was still,
you were either like an unbroken kid
yeah.
or you were like a fucking, you know, wide awake kid.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then there were like the real weirdos that liked fucking heart attack stuff.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
like that weren't Third even rail. Like, it wasn't even part of hardcore.
Had its own little pocket scene. Yeah. No.
Right. And hated both of us equally.
Yes. Yeah. Thought everyone was a poser.
Right. You know, like, but now that, you know, I think nowadays it's like everything is done to such like so well done to like a granular level that no matter what you like or what you're like, ah, man, you know, when I was 22, I loved blank.
Yeah.
There was someone out there that is doing that style incredibly well.
Right. Tom, if in 2004, let's say 2004 or five, I said, hey, in about 5 or 6 years, there's going to be an entire world built off of that cites late 90s screamo, and it's going to be huge. And they're going to call it Scrams.
Right.
You'd be like, okay, go back to your own planet. What are you talking about? Like, it would have been unfathomable. But here we are in 2022, and that's something that happened. And if you had told me in the mid or early 2000s, I'd be like, that stuff? Barely anybody cared about it then. Like, it was so small. Like, no, you know, it was like, I saw you and I play to rooms of 5 to 10 people. You know
right.
what I mean?
If they played tomorrow, it'd be fucking gigantic.
Correct.
I said it was Asia and all those bands. Like, exactly. And it's awesome.
Exactly. And it's cool, especially looking back and then seeing what it inspired. And that is to say, like, reaffirming your point, like, you can go, there is something currently happening that will represent your interests, but also you can use that as a springboard if you're into that to go backwards too. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Which is
the such last 20 years that you may have missed.
Right. And that's kind of an interesting and fun well to play in, because, you know, you also said this exactly right. I can say definitely that if I wasn't doing Axe to Grind with you guys, I would be unaware of some bands that I really, really love that I think are great and have put out great records. Not because I think hardcore's lame. I've never thought hardcore's lame. I mean, hardcore's lame for a lot of reasons, but not as a whole. And you'd never catch me saying, yeah, hardcore sucks. It doesn't suck. It's awesome. I would have missed things I love just because of life. Like, yo, I got two kids. Right. I got a kid. The time I was the furthest from hardcore was when Easton was a, you know, newborn to 2-year-old, because I just didn't have any time.
Right. You're trying to figure it out. You're keeping this living being still living. It was a
lot
of work.
Right. That's right. It's a kind of important thing. Doesn't mean it was because I thought moshing sucked. You know, I didn't think stage dives were lame, you know? So, I think this has been a gushy way to say hardcore's in a pretty good place. Hopefully you're finding something, that you're enjoying. We threw out some names. Tom, if you don't have any other stuff on this one, I had a couple things before we close out today. I wanted to ask.
I just have a funny, one thing I would like. So I just would like to give a shout out to the band Elliot.
We should have done that right at the top. I'm so sorry. Yes.
We should have. That's okay. So Chris from Elliot. So full transparency, one of the only reasons why I originally agreed to play Furnace Fest was to be able to play with Elliot. Those cool. records are very important to me and to Matt Miller from MPB. So, like, they were legitimately, it was like the opportunity to play with them Sunny Day were like, was the only reason why that I was
pretty big, big.
Yeah. So, of course, we cancel that because that's what we do. Then they're playing in Brooklyn, which I'm all excited for. Then I realize I have a wedding that night, so I can't go to that either. Mm. So, I get a message from a friend of mine who was like, were you at Elliot? I was like, no, I was actually at a wedding, unfortunately. And they're like, oh, they shouted you out. They shouted out Axe to Grind and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. So my buddy Dubin filmed the show and I got to see it. So I'm heartbroken to say that I missed that in person, but I did get to go to a wedding that ended with the Lee Greenwood song, Proud to Be an American. And all my nieces came over and like, I can't believe this is happening. And I had to explain to some family members why I'm not that stoked on being American.
Right.
So that's how my night ended, but I could have watched them play, you know, two of my favorite records.
Yeah.
But, so shout out to Chris and Elliot. Hopefully you guys will continue and I'll be able to see it this time. I'll say it, open door. If you ever want to come on, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, shout out Chris. Chris is a cool dude.
Yeah, and it's funny. So years ago we were robbed in Vancouver. I think I told the story on the podcast.
Right, yes.
And we were driving down the coast and we were playing in California. We went to Revelation. Revelation were incredibly kind to us and they're like, "Go into the warehouse. We know you got your clothes stolen. Take whatever you need."
Cool.
And so Jay Palumbo from Elliot and from other bands, obviously Empathy and other bands, mm-hmm. was at Rev for whatever reason at the time, he must have been doing something with Elliot, and we're chatting and stuff. He goes, "Wait a minute," he's like, "Are you the band that covers Susie and the Banshees?" And we're like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Awesome," and we left there like, "Oh my god, the dude from Elliot." Knew that we were so geeked out that the guy from a Louisville legend knew that we were like the band that covered Susie and the Banshees. We've always had a big soft spot for Elliot. So shout out to them and shout out to Chris. Thank you.
Very kind words. Totally appreciate it. Chris probably doesn't remember, but I definitely worked with him a little bit while I was at Rev. He helped. I think he recorded the Gracer Voices Travel album. And was very kind, gracious, and was a good guy. So appreciate him saying that nice stuff about us. That leads into what I was going to say. Tom, do you think Elliot could record a record for 2023 and it'd be pretty cool?
Yes, and we could broker a deal with Run for Cover, and they'd be the biggest band in the world like they deserve to be.
Yes, where that's leading to is wish list. Not going to be full because I'm dropping this on you, but some things you'd like to see. We've kind of quietly had a few mentions of this in our group chat of like, what are some things you'd like, records or bands you'd like to see do something in 2023? New Elliot record in 2023 I think would be interesting and cool, and they could literally do whatever they want sonically.
Yeah,
like they could go like their later material and even further into that kind of drifty kind of
piano-y,
ambient piano kind of stuff, or they could go a little more up tempo than their earlier stuff. They could do whatever they want, and that's
have you listened to the Frontier stuff?
Yeah, I did.
It's excellent.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really well done. There's a whole grip of that Louisville stuff that I think. It doesn't hit me totally, but if any of it interests people, that whole group of people has done a ton of bands that were awesome. I actually did a deep dive on it when I was very young because, was the fanzine I Stand Alone?
Yeah.
Did a 7-inch comp that had Elliot, Kid Dynamite, one other band, and Sunday Evening Dinner Club doing covers, and Sunday Evening Dinner Club eventually, if I'm correct, a few of the members went on to do 32 Frames, which did a record in Rev. But Sunday Evening Dinner Club covered The Distance by by Moondog, but then later famously covered by Gorilla Biscuits. And I remember it being one of the cleanest versions of it.
It wasn't like...
Correct. It wasn't some weird live tape. Right. And it was like awesome. So... thank you for helping me learn the lyrics to a song I loved before I knew all the lyrics.
That wasn't Dynamite Rose, the name of the comp, was it?
No, what was it?
All right, because there was one
that came out.
It was a wedding gift.
Oh.
Like it was a wedding thing that people gave to the people that came to their wedding. But there's one, I forget who's on it, but Silent Majority's on it covering Salvation by the Cranberries.
Ooh, that's
fucking awesome.
I would like to hear that.
When you listen to it and like Silent Majority being like, at least half of a straight edge band, mm-hmm. like those, like yeah, you listen to those lyrics, harder, like huh? Yeah. Oh, this is kind of like a straight edge song, almost right, sort of.
I'm with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, wish list, some things you'd like, and I'll kick us off, and you can kind of jump some in here too. I want a new King 9 record in 2023. That's not unrealistic. They're still a band, right?
They're in the UK right now.
All right, King 9. New record 2023. Yeah.
An EP at least.
Like a 12-inch EP. Like I want more than a 7-inch. I don't want like 3 songs and a cover or 4 songs.
Let me get a 6 song.
6 intro. Songs. 6 songs, 12-inch. I know just the guy up in Troy, New York to put it out. And we've talked about it. One of my favorites of the harder style. I think they do it exactly right. So, new King 9 record in 2023. Wish list. What's yours? What you got one?
Well, it's tough. Because I mean, I know what, you know, I was like, I really would like a new Incendiary record, but I know that's coming.
You know, it's coming.
You know, let's see. What would I like?
I got one that I think you can co-sign.
Sure.
Trapped Under Ice.
Ooh, 100% co-sign.
We need a new record. They did Heatwave, right? Heatwave, which is like, I want people to know, go back and listen to that record's fucking awesome. It's really good. Yeah. But I want a 8 song, maybe 6 to 8 songs. I don't know. If you got some fast ones, that's cool. Give me something hard. Like, let's hear it. The time is now. They got those shows coming up in New York and Baltimore that were sold out in approximately 18 seconds. I want another Trapped Under Ice record. Fairly certain. There's some folks back. They're back in Baltimore. Winter in Baltimore, the right time to write a hard ass record, right?
True. No Orioles. No, like the Ravens are terrible.
The Ravens' energy is all off. Like, is Lamar staying? Is he going? No extension. Right. Like,
I mean, I guess the Wizards are like their local team,
kinda, but not even. You know,
John Wall anymore. Bradley Beal.
Baltimore energy's like. yo, Baltimore in the winter is a pretty cold place, man. You get That's true. Wet, cold day in Baltimore in December, nobody's happy. So go write that hard riff. So you got my wish list. Apparently, I just want hard music for 2023.
Yeah, really?
King Nine, new record. Trapped Under Ice, new record. This is my wish list. What else? Oh, I'll throw another record. New Drain. Oh, I think that is coming. I would imagine so. Man. So Drain, we didn't even mention in our conversation. Low-key huge. And I don't even know if it's low-key.
Yeah, I don't think it's that low-key, but I don't think they get enough credit.
Yeah.
And they haven't really toured.
Ooh, they have, but they've toured with these weird tours. I think they played New York last night.
Tonight.
So, yeah.
Right. But like, this is like their first time. Like,
yo, you're okay. So like, you're right. Train. Their touring has been all thrown off because their record, their LP on Rev, dropped in March of 2020. I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Oops.
Right.
But they're on Epitaph.
It's so crazy.
I have to imagine they got an LP coming sooner rather than later. They thread the line of, like, their aesthetic throws people off, right? Like, aesthetic-wise, it sounds like it should be, like, fun, surfs up, bro, hardcore. And it doesn't not have a little bit of that energy. But, yo, it's hard, and it's borderline thrash, like thrash metal.
Yeah, their presentation is all good time, bro, let's go surfing. Like, just by, like, their merch, by, like, you know, they come out to, like,
QP Sharks and such.
Right, and it's like a Wipeout, or like they came out like Surfing USA and the Jaws theme, like in Sound and Fury. So like they lean into that, but the music, like you said, is like
hard,
like thrash, like but like thrash in like the Clash of the Titans Metallica way, Bandana thrash.
If you love Power Trip and you've avoided Drain because of their aesthetic, stop that now. Go listen to that record. It's got elements you will vibe on. So, okay. So new Drain record. Yeah, that's a good one. And I don't have any details. I want a gel LP.
Yes.
Gel P. Cause I think their evolution sonically has been awesome and they just have all the elements. Like they're one of my favorite, they're probably my favorite hardcore band from New Jersey in 20 years.
That's sick.
Yeah, like they're awesome. So
I would like Fiddlehead to end the trilogy.
So shout out to them. I am excited. Actually, today the Punitive Damage LP comes out. I'm curious to hear that. What are some other things I want? There's some People's Temple did a demo a couple years ago that I love. New York City, like fast hardcore punk. I want a record from them. I don't know what it'd be. They're again like a 12-inch EP type band. That kind of perfect spot of like 6 to 8 songs, but with a band like People's Temple, they could do a 10-song thing that would work as a 12-inch EP length, you know?
Sure.
So something like that would be great. So shout out. I want a People's Temple LP. Do you got any others? Let's close with one more.
Fuck. I'm trying to think something different here. What are we doing here? Man, I'm struggling.
No, I'm trying to. You know what? I think I got one for you. A band you like, and we probably don't highlight enough because this is a double wish list. I would like to see a full US Magnitude tour.
Sure.
And I think they are due for another record. Yeah.
No, that's fair. That's actually true. Yes, they're due for a new record. I mean, that record's been out for like
three years. Let's pull this up. This is a good one.
It's got to be 2019.
I think it's okay. You're guessing. Yep. To Whatever Faithful End is 2019.
God damn.
Yeah. So
Magnitude needs a new record.
Let's hear it. And shout out for all the new music that's coming out. I want another Big Cheese record. This is where we're making our wish list. And I want the long discussed self-defense alt country record that Patrick keeps promising. We'll see.
Right, and the live record, and
yeah, maybe we'll just have Patrick come on the podcast sometime. We'll see.
We should have Monty. Probably be a pretty good guest.
All right. Good night, everybody.